Okay, everybody. Welcome on back here to Symbol Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and we're going to continue with some hymnal worship. We are definitely happy, glad, and excited that you are here with us this afternoon for our Sunday service. We hope and pray that today will be a blessing to you. Let's go ahead and turn in our brown hymnals to page 736. Our first song that we're going to sing is I Surrender All. I Surrender All. And I hope you can join us here and somebody can do a sound check. Greatly appreciate that. All right, now, I Surrender All. Let's go ahead and sing it together. All right, on the one.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
On the two.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him my feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
On the fourth.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
On the last.
All to Jesus I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to His name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
May you please get that charger and plug it in for me, quickly? right over there. All right, let's go ahead and turn our hymnals to page 136. 136. 136. As we get... is it 143? Oh, 143. Thank you, Sister Brittany. Yes, I received that correction. Yes, 143. Amen. All right, page 143 in our hymn. Yeah, Brother Christian, come on over here, man. Come sing with us here. You can put him on the stand there. He can sing with us. We're going to have a third member. Just felt spirit-led. He wants to join us. Praise God. Little Holy Ghost-led saint over here. Yeah. Come on up here, young man. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. We got baby Christian in the house. Amen. All right. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's go to sing it out together. Amen. This is a long song. Praise God. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. On the two. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. On the third. It tells me of a father's smile beaming on his child. It cheers me through this little while, through desert, waste, and wild. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. All right, on the sixth, on the sixth. It bids my trembling soul rejoice. It dries each rising tear. It tells me in a small, small voice to trust and never fear. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. On the last. Jesus, the name I love, the name I love to hear. No saint on earth its worth can tell, no heart conceive how dear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. Glory to God. All right, now to respect our rules, amen. Feel free to just give an elbow, fist bump, amen. We're going to hold the hugs until these regulations go off. Glory to God. Welcome to church, everybody. Okay, Brother Quamain is going to come on up here to do our announcements. Glory. Amen. Glory. Welcome to church, everybody.
Amen. Well, welcome all of y'all who joined us online. Just want to thank y'all for tuning in, taking time out of y'all day to take heed to God's word being rightly divided and being preached. My hope and prayer is that you will be blessed if you hear it and you believe it. Amen. If you believe the word of God, it will work effectually in you. That's what God promised. All right, so again, my name is Kwame. You can call me Brother Q if you want. I'm going to give some quick announcements real quick. I thank y'all who physically are out here for joining us. We are still less than 10, and we are definitely keeping our 6 feet social distancing, so we're adhering to the law. And let's go ahead and give a quick announcement for y'all. So I want y'all to pay attention to the screen here. I'm going to skip over to calendar tab. Events are pretty much shut down for now until we are back able to gather like we want to. So I'm going to go ahead and go over this prayer tab. All right. So this prayer tab is very important. We should all be doing this, especially nowadays, now that this sickness is going around. Prayer, not just for the sickness, but for our consciences as well, because a lot of people are being affected in their conscience because of out of fear and things like that. So please keep each other in prayer. Be wise in these times, you know, maintain that social distancing because you never know who might have it, who might not. But the good news is this, you know, we want to set our affection on things above and know that we are saved. So praise God for that. It's a blessing to be saved. We have a redeemed body to look forward to, a place in heaven with God. Amen. So we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for making that available for us. If you're saved, if you're not saved, yes, fear, get saved. Amen. So real quick, this prayer tab is just so you can submit a prayer request. You can put information in right here. You can submit praise reports, prayer requests, or anything just to keep Simple Faith Baptist updated so we can pray for you as a body. So that's for you there and the praise reports as well. Again, it will be to the public, but if you do not want it public, just let us know. And it won't be public, but we'll know about it, and we can keep you in prayer together here at Simple Faith Baptist, okay? Real quick, moving right along, let's go to our live stream, which is pretty important nowadays since we can't gather like we want to. So if you want to join us online, we're on Facebook, all right? We have the Facebook Live going on. We have the page there as well. We have YouTube. So I know if you're watching, you're watching on one of these platforms. So YouTube, Periscope, and we also have podcasts as well. So please tune in if you can. You know, it's a blessing that we can reach hearers who want to hear the word of God rightly divided. And this is one way we can reach you here. All right. So please, if you would like to be a blessing to somebody else, you know, share the links. You know, share the Facebook, the YouTube, the Periscope, and the podcast. So while people are kind of quarantined at times, they can still hear the word of God rightly divided. Amen. All right. So last link I'm going to talk about is online giving. All right. Again, it's between you and the Lord. Whatever you purpose in your heart, as unto the Lord, because the Lord looks at that heart. You know, it's the heart of giving. He loves a cheerful giver. And that's between you and him. We just have it available here. If you would like to give the Temple Faith Baptist, it's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. The platform here is PayPal, as you can see at the bottom. You just go ahead and just follow the instructions here, and easy as that. All right, with that being said, just a real quick announcement, real quick. I'm going to welcome up Brother Carlos. Hopefully you came for the word of God. Amen. And I'm sorry? Yes, I did do all my announcements, unless I will share some contact information real quick here on the front page, just so you can see. On the front page, here's our times. Services. Again, a lot of these have changed. Like the Saturdays, we're not soul winning anymore just for now until we're back able to come in contact with each other. And we still have the regular services. Sunday, we have our Sunday school from 1 to 1:30. And we're still going over. If you haven't been with us, we're going over a sure foundation, an awesome work from Brother James Knox. About the attributes of God. And then Sunday service, 1:45, I give my quick announcements and get ready for the word of God. And Wednesdays, we have that 7 p.m. service every Wednesday. And 1 week out of the month, we have our praise and worship and prayer time. So please, I know we can't gather together, but keep us in prayer wherever you're at. And we hopefully, if you utilize this prayer tab, we can keep you in prayer as well. So with that being said, I think that's all announcements. Sorry for my jumbling. I got a lot of stuff going on here at work right now. A lot of emails coming in. But I want to put that to the side to just be here for y'all for some quick announcements. All right? So I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. So also, thank you, sister. Friday, and I know it's just we can't really gather like we want to, but a couple of us come out, maybe like a handful or so come out, and we're going over a creation a video series, okay? And it's pretty awesome. I had a good time to learn more things about creation and proof of creation. And so just more proof of, again, God's word being true. So Fridays we're doing that, and like I said, we're still adhering to the social distancing and the limited gathering. And again, it's only like maybe about five-ish of us, so again, we're staying below that. But if we can stay below that 10 and you want to join us and we have the space where you can watch the video, let us know so we can facilitate that, or we can get you a copy of that video. So please just contact us here. Contact information is on our homepage. With that being said, welcome up, Brother Carlos. Hopefully you came for the word of God.
Amen. Thank you. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Kwame. Amen, everybody. All right. Thank you for the few. Praise God. We have a couple of members here with us. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, church. With that said, we do apologize. We're trying to fix these technical difficulties as they are going on. We have some video lag taking place online, so we do apologize for that. And so please bear with us as we are trying our best to fix that, hopefully soon. But with that said, like Brother Kwame was saying, we do have Friday nights. We're going to put that online, but we're going to start having some fellowship movie nights. So what that means is we're watching the Creation Seminar Series by Dr. Kent Hovind. It's a great time for us to get together to learn how to believe and study the Bible from a scientific perspective. And it's pretty cool and amazing to see those of you guys who were here last Friday. I got some positive feedback. It was a really good fellowship. People really did enjoy coming together for that, and I'm very happy that you did. So every Friday night, we're going to have those videos. So we finish off the first video, part A. We're going to finish the next one, part B, this coming Friday, Lord willing. So please join us so you can learn how to study your Bible from a scientific perspective to help you in your studies. Amen. So hopefully that'll be a blessing to you as well. And also, for those of you guys who are here with us, this past Wednesday, we did a co-live stream study with Bible Believers Baptist Church in El Cajon. That was truly a blessing, and we are happy that many of you guys came out. That was a blessing. So I do appreciate you guys. For those of you guys that did join us for that fellowship night, it truly was a blessing to see you guys there. And I'm going to try to send out those videos privately so that way you guys can see how it was. And if you ever want to go back to rehearse those studies, that'll be a blessing. So with that said, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 8 and continue where we left off in our study of the Word of God together here. Romans, the 8th chapter. And hopefully we can fix these technical difficulties at some point so we don't continue to keep having these video lags. But again, I do apologize if you're watching online. The video lag is there. My audio is great. Just the video lag, we're having some issues with that. So please bear with us as we try to get all that settled here. Amen. Romans chapter number 8. And we're going to pick up from verse number... if I can get there myself. Romans chapter 8. We're going to pick up from verses 36 to 39. Romans 8, verse 36 to 39. There you go. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 37 through 39. All right, here the Bible says in verse number 37 through 39, let's go ahead and read, and they will pray together. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39, the Word of God says here, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see wonderful things from thy holy word, the Bible. I pray that you would mature every member that is here with us and every member watching online. And I pray that we would be provoked to study and to listen to your words, oh God, knowing that this is our authority, regardless of how we came in here this afternoon, no matter how our weeks have been, no matter how we feel because of the feelings, I pray that we would leave differently, being reminded from your word, Lord, of what we ought to remember concerning how you view us today and what you expect of us. That is my hope and prayer. In Jesus' name we say, amen. All right, Romans chapter 8. Forgot to get something here from my laptop. All right. Now remember, guys, Paul's answer to the earlier rhetorical question, he asks here in verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, we talked about that, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He says in verse number 37, nay, the answer, no, nothing. None of those things can separate us from the love of Christ. So again, what are we talking about, church? We're talking about our position as born-again Christians in Christ. So before God the Father, our position as sinners, we've been born again, we've been saved, we are placed in Christ. Is anything going to separate you now from the love that God the Father has towards you through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer is no. Praise God in verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So there's Paul's answer to his rhetorical question, A, in response to the present evils which surround us as redeemed, blood-bought sinners in Christ. None of those things, Paul says, though real, can separate our love from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's God's definition of it. Because it is an internal love that pertains to your soul. Now, why? Because the Holy Ghost stated in verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him. Now, notice again, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that this love is available, and this love from God through Jesus is only available to those that believe and receive Jesus, to them that are in Christ. If you do me a favor, go back up to verse number 1 in your chapter 8 and look at what the text says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, if you are not in Christ, if you are not born again, if you have not trusted and believed on him for the salvation of your soul, you are not in Christ. Hence, there is condemnation upon your soul. There is wrath from God the Father upon your soul. That's what we read back there in John chapter 3. But after you heard the gospel, somebody told you about it in your family, friendships, or in the neighborhood, or in the workplace, they gave you a tract. The Holy Ghost pricked your heart. You said, God, I know I need forgiveness. I know I'm not alone, that you exist. Lord, if you are who you say you are, would you save me, a sinner? God then saved you. You became born again. Now he placed you into his Son, the Lord. You were in darkness. He placed you in light. You were under the power of Satan, and he placed you under the power of his Son, Jesus. In Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, there is unconditional love. In Christ, there is an eternal bond that is inseparable. Outside of Christ, separable. Why? Because one day he's going to judge sinners and send them to a lake of fire. He's going to judge sinners and send them to hell, separated from his love, because they rejected his Son and his word. So praise God that we are more than conquerors because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do me a favor, turn your Bibles with me now to John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. And what I'd like to do now for the rest of this sermon is do my best to focus on some of these great verses as it pertains to how we view the love of God, how the Lord Jesus Christ displayed and exhibited the love from the eternal Godhead, how he expects us now to love one another. But even after receiving his love, even after his love comes inside of us, his love does not set us free from the current condition and present evil within this world. Because he will tell you, as he told the disciples, you and I are still going to have tribulation. You and I are still going to have evils. You and I are going to suffer by the hands of wicked men and women who reject God. Hence, they're unbelievers, and they believe in anything else but Jesus. Hence, they're blinded by Satan, spiritually speaking. We know that now because we're in Christ. And although that is going to happen to you, the Lord already told you, he redirects your attention back to that inseparable love that Paul reminds us of later on in Romans chapter number 8. So here we have in John 13, verse number 1, give you a little bit of context. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, look at this last half of the verse, he loved them unto the end. You know what that shows you and I today, friend? Is that the Jesus of the Bible is capable of keeping his love for you throughout time. So unto the end of his life on that cross and unto his departure, the Holy Ghost told John to write this down. Hey, he loved you unto the end. There was never a moment in which his love was not exhibited to his disciples. And even sadly, yes, through Judas Iscariot, we know the betrayal took place. But the love of God was shown him and all these disciples who would eventually at some time deny him or bail on him in some manner, shape, or form. He loved them to the end. Now, we're talking about here his earthly ministry that was to fulfill all that was determined of him in the scriptures. He's talking to his disciples. Turn your Bible now with me to one chapter to the right in your book, John 14. John chapter 14. Notice what our Lord tells us as the Holy Ghost gave record and recorded this conversation he had with the disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now what a miracle and what a blessing. The Jesus of the Bible promises all those that would receive and believe him as their Savior a place to live in heaven with him. He talks about in heaven where his Father abodes, right? The eternal God. That there are mansions. It's a plurality. There are many dwelling places for them that are going to go there. Look at what he says in verse 2. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know, I don't mean a side preach on this, but I'm going to. If God did not put a particular portion of information or revelation in his word, the entire scriptures as we have them now available to us, it's because he did not deem it worthy or it's not true. What do I mean by that? Whenever you encounter now Christians today who hear from God, they hear a voice and they say, God wants me to tell you this, and you're asking them, brother or sister, where is that in the scriptures? If it was not so, the Lord said, I would have told you. I just want to give you this verse to apply it even to them. When you test the spirits and prove them, prod them a little bit, those false apostles and prophets of today, if it's not in God's word, it's not from God. Point blank. I'm just gonna keep it simple. So go with Jesus. You have the scriptures. Trust that. That's your source of authority. Keep going in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a blessing. Not only is he teaching them about his love that's going to be available with them and present with them, but he says that he's going to come back for them. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Keep going down here, verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. The next part I want to focus on is this. The Lord said, if you have my words available to you, the scriptures, and you want to verbally claim that you believe in me and that you love me aside from all the gods of this world that it has to offer you, your traditions and your feelings, you know what he said? Then obey my commandments. Keep my words. If you love me, do what I say. That's what the Lord said. Keep going. We know that he's not going to leave us comfortless. He talks about the Holy Ghost coming. in verse number 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Lord taught that the Holy Ghost would be the member of the Godhead who would dwell within the believer. You see, the Lord was going to go back to heaven, where the Father is. The third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that actually comes and dwells within each and every single one of our hearts when anybody calls upon Jesus to save them. It's the Holy Spirit that does that work. And so what the Holy Spirit is also going to do, because he's tasked of the Lord, is he's going to transfer that love of God, that peace of God, to your spirit and to your account. That no matter what situation or thing you may be going through, you can actually feel peace about it, because here you have the eternal Spirit of God dwelling inside you, able to transfer unto you the Lord's joy into you. We know that he is in us now. Now keep going down to verse number 21. Look at what the Bible says. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You know how it's obvious to me, friend, if I know that you're saved? Is if you're doing what Jesus said to do. You know how it should be obvious to you to know that I'm saved? If you see me doing what Jesus told me to do. You know what the Lord said? If you have my words and you keep them, you're the one that loves me. What about the person who has God's words but doesn't keep them? What about the person who has the Bible but doesn't even read it? Doesn't really pray? You know, they go to church when they feel like it. What about that? Are they really and truly loving the Lord? Well, let's continue to read his words before you think I'm judging you. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know what the promise of the Lord is in that verse alone? I mean, that's powerful enough. He said, if you have my words and you keep my words, the Father himself is going to love you, and I, Jesus, he's saying, I'm going to manifest myself to you. I'm going to show you who I am through the word. You say, Brother Carlos, I don't really know the Bible like you. Are you doing what the word has told you to do? Are you spending time with God in that word? Jesus said he'll show you. If you don't, no wonder. You know why, friend. Whoever you are today. Now Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Quite obvious, friends. If you and I want to love the Lord, we're going to do what he said. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So here's what the Lord is teaching. The eternal Godhead, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, he's God, he's the creator, he is eternal. Jesus said that if you're willing to trust me and to receive me into your heart and you have my words and you keep them, we, the Father and the Son, are going to come and live in you. Now ask yourself, if I have trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus, and if I have his words, what compels me or what influences me not to spend time with this eternal God and his word when he is right here in my heart? You know what he said? That he's going to make his abode with you. He's going to live inside you. That love of God will then be inseparable, because here you have the Lord Jesus, the second member of the Godhead, who's going to become your advocate. He's going to become your mediator. And because the Father loves the Son unconditionally, that love is now going to be made available to you. That's why nothing can separate your love from God in Christ. But you have to be in Christ. Now look at verse 24. Remember how he told you about, what about the person who doesn't? This is what Jesus said. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Do you see that? Notice what the Lord taught from verse 21 and onward. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. You know, when I try to share with people the scriptures, and I judge them by what comes out of their mouth of how they believe the scriptures to read. And I say, brother or sister, you're wrong because the Bible tells us here and you're not doing that here. You know what's obvious to me? Is they don't love the Lord at that moment in time of their life. I don't say that they're not saved. I'm just telling you that they're not demonstrating love to him wherever they're at in their moment of life. Why? Because they argue with the Word of God. That's what Jesus said. If you don't love me, it's because you're not keeping my word. It's real simple. It's not a matter of our church and our church fellowship and our church doctrine, even though that's a good thing. This is between you and the Lord himself. If you don't come to church and you argue against God's preacher or preachers that are trying to tell you, hey, do this for the Lord, do that for the Lord, and you argue and you deny that, it's because you're not keeping his sayings. You have a problem with your heart. You need to take that up with the Lord because he's the one telling you and he's calling you out. You don't love me. It's real sad. He didn't say you don't believe in me. He just said you don't love me. What a sad thing. Help us, Lord, not to be that. Turn us with me, if you would, in your Bible to John chapter 15, the next book in the right-hand side. John 15, let's go down here to verse number 9. Anybody here? Got a little quiet. Come on, church. Anybody out there? John 15, verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, there it is again, that eternal, unconditional love from the Godhead, so have I loved you. That's what the Lord demonstrated and exhibited to the disciples while he was on the earth. Continue ye in my love. Now what does he ask you to do? Continue with that love that is available. This makes sense, right? You have my word. All right, now continue. It's there. It's available. Keep going. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord appeals to the love which his Father has towards him, so that we might behold that love and know what he expects of us to demonstrate one toward another, and to convince us that his love is eternal and unconditional and ever-present and available for us to enjoy. Look at what he says in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How about that? What an amazing verse. Are you and I being friendly with our Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you not? Are we doing what he's asked for us to do? You know what the Lord said? That's when you're demonstrating that you're his friend, if you're doing what he says. You know, I know a lot of us have friends. I know you have friends. I have friends. Sometimes your friends help you with certain things. Sometimes my friends help me with certain things that I ask them to do. But when they don't do it, I get mad. I get angry. I get sad. Because I'm like, man, you're my friend. You're supposed to help me out, or you're supposed to do this. And likewise, if I fail them, they fail the same way. I want you to consider now Jesus. He says, you call me your friend? Yeah, you call me your Lord? I love you, but you don't love me at times because you don't do what I've asked you to do. The Holy Ghost is going to deal with your conscience. He's going to prick you. He's going to make you feel bad until you get it right with him. And you know who you are. You know who you are. Keep going down here. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you my friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Go down here to verse number 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So what is the Lord teaching here? He is teaching his disciples that they will still suffer at the hands of those who would hate him. Not them, but him. The unbelievers, the people of this world who would reject Jesus as Lord and Savior, he said, while we live in this world filled with evil, lust, pains, perverseness, he redirects the disciples' attention from abiding in their situations, whichever they may be, to rather abide in his love by obeying his word, so that his joy will supernaturally comfort them and you today through any trial you may be in. So notice that. Notice, because they will. Just because you get saved, that does not stop the courses of evil in the spiritual wickedness in high places that Ephesians 6:12 talks about, and it does not change the whole world's current state of being evil in Galatians 1:4. Just because you become a born-again Christian, the world doesn't stop. The world doesn't rejoice. Nobody cares about you because they don't care about him. But there's one that does care about you, and that's God. But God already told you, don't be surprised when you're still going to face evil, trial, and tribulation because of me. Why? Because they don't want me. They actually hate me. They persecuted me before they persecuted you. So just know, if you want to love me and serve me, you're going to have a hard time. Because there is still the course of this world by the power of Satan being allowed to do his thing until the season until that season finishes, which you can read about in the book of Revelation. Now, if we could just remember that it's not about me, it's not about us, but it's about him. You know, like Paul the Apostle, when he said in Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. When the world does come against us for our faith, remember, O Christian, who the real enemy is, Satan and his angels. They will ridicule you for his name's sake. They will persecute you for his name's sake. They will hate you, but again, notice the text, because they know him not. Look at what that says there in verse number 18 and 19. It's their choice because they hated him. You see that? Keep going down with me here. All these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Do you see that? So why? Because they reject God. They refuse to listen to God's words concerning his son. And because they refuse to listen to God and they say Jesus isn't real, he's just a farce, Christianity is just another religion man-made, Satan is still under control. And Satan controls them according to the Bible. They are being led by just satanic evil temptation and I guess you could just say attacks, spiritually influencing them. But just notice the text, because they know not him. You know why the Holy Ghost would later write to us in Romans 8, nay, but we are more than conquerors through him? It's because we know him. They don't, but we do. And because we know him, we've asked Jesus to save us. God then knows us personally. Man, that eternal love has been made available to us to also partake in. Praise God. That love is in me and it's never going to leave. Even though I will still suffer. Even though I will still be persecuted for the faith. Turn with me, if you would, in John chapter 16, one chapter to the right. John the 16th chapter. Verse number 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Now, how about that? That's a good verse, right? What an amazing statement. He already told us ahead of time what we are to expect as Christians living among ourselves and the world around us. So we won't take offense at God. When that thing does happen, we won't blame God for any of that. Because he already told you in his word what's going to happen. What is still going to take place within your life. You're still going to have problems. You're still going to have tribulations because the God of this world is going to run his course until God says it's over. And you can read more about that in Revelation in the future. But until that time comes, he is running rampant up there in high places, and those devils are still fulfilling their little lord's demands and decrees. I'm talking about Satan and devils, those evil spirits. And that's still going to happen. That's why the Holy Spirit will tell us in Ephesians 6 that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world in high places. So don't be offended just because you get sick. Don't blame God and say, God, where were you? Why weren't you here? He is. He gave you the word so you can know the truth. Verse number 2, look at what the Lord tells him. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. He's teaching his disciples while he is on the earth. They're going to take you out. They're going to kill you. They're going to take you to the synagogues and beat you. And you know what's crazy, guys? They're going to think that they're doing God's service. But they're not. Because they don't know him because they rejected me. So when you, today, Christian, go through a trial, none of us are persecuted in America. Thank God we're not in China or Africa where Muslims will raid your village and they'll physically kill the pastors in your church until people convert. You know that's happening right now, church? You know that in Africa, Muslims will go in there with their swords and their guns and they'll kill Christians? China, the Chinese government will come into your local church, take you out, put you in a prison camp. It is happening still around the world. You see, you're not the kind of Christian that they are. I am. I know I am not for sure. I honestly can't look at these verses and say, yeah, I have experience. None of us do. And we have no right to. But our missionary brothers that are at the forefronts of persecution, they can relate. And you know what? We need to pray for the church that is being persecuted in the foreign fields. Because they're facing it full reality of what the Lord has already foretold them about. That these people are going to kill them. You know, there's a movie that I've watched a long time ago called, I think it's titled Love Cost Everything or The Cost of Love. It's about Christians that were being persecuted around the faith. There was an Indian pastor who was on his way to some place with his wife in the back of a scooter, and these guys came by and they jumped them, murdered his wife. And he's saying, God, why not me instead? Why not me instead? But did he stop serving God? No, he kept on going on for Jesus. Why? Because he remembered his word. This is what's going to happen. And you know all these charismatic Christians and Pentecostals that want to rebuke diseases and sicknesses and devils and all this, they have no idea what they're talking about because they don't even know how to even read the Bible and rightly divide it. You are still going to get sick, fool. You're still going to be attacked by a devil. And the devil that sometimes will be a lot of God to just straight up take you out. That's what we read in the Bible. Because what is the Lord trying to redirect the attention of his followers? My love in you, inseparable. Your home is in heaven, not here on the earth. So keep that in mind. Let's keep reading. But these things I have told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Notice that. Again, amazing verse. We can even apply this verse to the entirety of the scriptures. God's words have been given to men to pen. God would preserve them for your authority 24/7, all time. 24/7, 365 days out of the year. Because they are given here for your study to memorize and to meditate on for your spiritual maturity. The Lord said he told you ahead of time what's going to happen. So you're not surprised, amen. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now he's talking about the Holy Ghost. Go down with me to verse number... to verse number, let's go back down here to verse number 19. Now when Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So he was teaching his disciples that he is going to go away. I mean, he's going to die. They didn't quite understand that, and so they got sad. Lord, what are you talking about? Where are you going? But look what the Lord promised them. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. I'm gonna connect this verse with other verses to show you that although we will have sorrows in this life, because the Lord told you, there is going to be joy that is to come for us one day. But that's going to be in heaven. All right? A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Then he tells them about prayer. Keep going down to verse number 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Once again, the Lord Jesus Christ calls the believer's attention to himself rather than themselves, rather than their trials and their tribulations, because he has overcome the world, sin and death. Praise God, Christian, that there is nothing that can separate me and you from the love of God, which is in Christ. Not death, because he overcame it. Not life, for the Holy Ghost is with me currently while I live. Not any of the present sorrows. Not angels, because they too, like us, are merely creatures of God, not the Creator. Not principalities or powers, because all things are under his rule and reign. Not things of today or tomorrow, but your eternal destiny is already secured in Jesus. Nor height, nor depth, nor creature, for the eternal Spirit dwells within you and I. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. Because all the demonstration of God's love was clearly seen and made visible in the person of Jesus while he was here on the earth teaching in his doctrine as he taught about the Father's love. Now before we close, I'd like to share with you Paul's experience and other believers' experiences while they were on the earth, that they did suffer tribulation, but how they had a joy, just like Jesus promised, that was being fulfilled in them because they abided in his word. Do me a favor, turn your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You see, Christian, it is going to happen. You will possibly die one day. I don't care about what pastor or apostle or prophet prays over you and your leg grows longer and all this silly stuff that you see on the internet. You're still going to die, fool. And you're still going to sin against God. But praise God, what does he redirect your attention to if you're a Bible believer? The love of God is what's not going to separate from you forever. Your flesh is still going to undergo the effects of sin. Satan is still going to attack Christians. But God said, my love is never going to separate from you because you're in Christ. And that's the most important part that we need to focus on. Look at what he says here in verse number 7, Paul the Apostle. And our hope is, of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also the consolation. Churches will face sufferings for the name's sake of the Lord. That's what he said, for my name's sake. That's what he was saying in John 14 through 16. But you know what? We're also going to be partakers of the consolation. That's the hope. And we're going to talk about that, the glory to come. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Remember how we're going through Acts? We saw how the Hebrews were persecute Paul and them. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Wow! I mean, here is an apostle of Jesus right there for you in written format. Not these rich apostles with their suits and their ties and their mega churches and their face lifts and their face surgeries and their makeup that they wear behind the camera. Paul, the man himself, said, you know what, brethren? We didn't even want to live anymore because of what we went through for his name's sake. All these apostles and prophets prophesying behind their cameras, it's easy because they got money. They're okay. not the real true apostles of our Lord. Man, they were persecuted. My God. They didn't want to live anymore. But, verse number 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Notice Paul and possibly all the other apostles and disciples. They suffered greatly in the first century for the name of our Lord Jesus. They were persecuted by both Hebrew and Roman Gentiles. But notice what Paul said, that we should not trust in ourselves but in God. What an amazing faith our apostles had, that though death was almost daily at their door for their work of service, they trusted in the words of the Lord and the resurrection to come. Church, today that's what we need to do. We need not focus on the worldly affairs, because that's what is real. Like, they're always going to be here. Problems, famines, wars, pestilences, poor people, rich people, death, life. These are things that are going to occur unto the coming of Christ. It's not until Christ comes back on this earth that full peace will be restored. But what does he tell you to do? He tells you to trust in his words. Do me a favor. In the same book, 2 Corinthians, just go with me to chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we'll start going down here in verse number 13. Same Paul writing. Now he's speaking of these false apostles in verse 13, ironically. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So he's just going to give you a comparison of a true apostle and what a life is like versus a false apostle and what their life is like. And then these Hebrew zealots that will try to come into the fold and hinder the growth of early Jewish Christians as it pertains to the law, etc., etc. He says here in verse number 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are the Hebrews, so am I. Are the Israelites, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham, so am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. He's not talking about stripes like a painting. These stripes are talking about physical beatings. In prisons more frequent, Paul said, in deaths oft. Man, he, like I said, death was at his door almost daily. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times Paul was lashed. Right? 39 times. 3 times in verse 15 was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night, a day, I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, my own Hebrew people, in perils by the heathen, Gentiles, people that didn't believe in God, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. That's right. People are going to go through things even with supposed Christians. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that's outside, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Wow. Now that blows my mind away, and that humbles me to my knees. You say, why? Because here you have Paul physically enduring through all these things for his name's sake. Notice where his heart was meditating on during and after those times. The Holy Ghost himself bearing witness that Paul had a care for the churches. Man, do you see that love of God that was in him? Do you see that joy of Jesus that kept him motivated, because his focus was not on the things of this world, but rather on the things of God? While he was being beaten and whooped and robbed and going through all these tribulations, you know what he still kept praying for? For the brothers and the sisters and the church and church growth and church purity and church holiness. He still kept praying for Christians, even though, man, he was being tossed to and fro by that devil. What does that tell us? We're going to go through stuff. Back here in Acts chapter 7, we had the first martyr. His name was Stephen. He was a young Hebrew fellow that ended up getting stoned for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the text tells us by Luke recording of Stephen. The Bible says, after that he preached to these Jews, and they were convicted, and man, they were pricked. They were so offended at God's words, they were going to kill this man. But he, verse 55, talking about Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was a saved man. Looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul was there before he got saved. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Here we have Stephen, guys, the first martyr, saved man of God. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Here we see the eternal love that Jesus was talking about fully manifest and exhibited for us right there. Even when death came to his doorstep, his soul was welcome into heaven because of that inseparable love that God offers all through Jesus. Even while his persecutors were throwing rocks, look at how that Bible says he kneeled down. What does that give you a picture of? He was standing up when they first started pummeling him. And at some point he got on his knees, and you know what he did on his knees? He prayed. Who did he pray for? He prayed for them. Look at what the text says. Lord, don't lay this against them. How could a young Hebrew Christian man who's being persecuted by his own people still have a love and care for those people that are murdering him? It's because of that love of Jesus in his heart. Just like Paul. Man, he had to care for those churches even though he was going through stuff because of that love of Jesus that is inseparable. In Acts 12, you read about James, the brother of John, who was martyred. But because we know he was saved and born again, you know what we see? Man, he went to heaven. That love of God wasn't separated. Last two verses before we close. Turn with me, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 11. 1 Peter chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, by this time, Peter got old, and he became an old saint before he became a persecuted brother in Christ and crucified upside down, as church history states. Look at his last words of exhortation that the Holy Ghost penned through him that we can read today. Verse number 1 of 1 Peter. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. You see it now, church? Do you see what Peter was trying to tell the brethren? Hey, I'm a witness of Christ's suffering, but I'm a witness of his glory. I also am an elder like you. I know we're going to suffer, but man, do I know what is going to come. I know that there's this glory that's going to come for all of us. Let's just keep following the Lord. Endure. Don't give up. He tells them to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. He tells these church leaders, don't be doing this work of service for God for money or for self-gratification or selfish gains, neither as being lords over God's heritage. You know what the Lord, you know the Holy Ghost told Peter to write to Christian elders who would potentially be pastors? You don't rule over any of those members of that church. You don't have no authority over those members of that church. It's Christ who has the authority. You are to be the servant. The Lord does give the pastor the spiritual authority to watch over your soul. That is the doctrine. But other than that, I'm just your brother, right? Being examples of the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now watch this. Be sober. Let me read that again. I know it got a little quiet in here. Be sober. Christians, don't be smoking weed, and don't be drinking alcohol. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, notice how he doesn't say your adversary, the Jews, your adversary, the Gentiles. He's telling you who the enemy is, the devil. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He was a lot of God to do that then, and he certainly is now. The devil is still doing that. He's still out there trying to take you out. Holy Ghost tells you through verse number 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. How can you resist the devil? In the faith. You can only resist him if you come to Jesus to become born again. Until then, you're under his control. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Wow, first century Christians. Peter writes to these Christians that are scattered abroad and tells them, hey, brothers, don't worry. What you're going through, Christians over here already have gone through. Christians over there have already suffered just like you guys are about to. Keep going. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look at what the text says, church. After ye have suffered. What does that tell you? You're going to suffer. The Christians over here suffered. The Christians over there suffered. But guys, what is he telling them? This grace of God is only available through Jesus. And because you have Jesus, you've been born again, you've received him as Lord, it's that same Jesus who's going to comfort you, he's going to strengthen you and settle you, but after you've suffered. Notice how he's not going to remove you from the suffering. Notice how he's going to be with you through the suffering. And he's going to strengthen you through that time. Because the devil is the one that's out there trying to take you out. Last verses. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse number 33 through 40. Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 33 through 40. If you want more encouragement, church, why you should continue to be a Christian, why you should continue to remain steadfast, go to church, prayer, Bible study, soul winning in the world, no matter who comes against you, no matter if your wife doesn't want to do it or not, your husband doesn't want to do it or not, your children don't want to follow you or not, look through the book of Hebrews to give you an example here in chapter 11 of why the people did it. But let's start together here in verse number 32 before we close. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. He's talking about all these people who died in faith. They were justified by faith, and God had declared them. They had a good report in his sight because of faith, who through faith, in verse 33, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Wow. Did you guys notice that? The first half is what they were able to do by the power of God through their faith. They were able to physically do something opposite to what they were going through. But then notice the next half. Man, others are tortured. For what? Faith, and their faith's sake in God. Not accepting deliverance. Watch this. That they might obtain a better resurrection. You know what these believers in Hebrews chapter 11 knew? They knew that there was this glory to come. They knew that there was something better to come than the current situation that they're in. It wasn't the wars. It wasn't the pestilences or the diseases, the betrayals, the torture. They had this word from God. God revealed them his word to them throughout time, however, whatever time they were living in. And there was an understanding given unto them that one day they're going to come back to life. And it's going to be better than how they went into that grave. Verse 37, they were stoned. A lot of them were. They were sawn asunder. Can you believe that? That God's people were cut up in pieces like that? They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, praise God, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So what's my point, church? When you go back now to Romans chapter 8, it makes sense, seeing how God allows things to continue as they are, knowing that the devil has power still, knowing that those devils still are doing their thing through the unbeliever, knowing that your flesh is not promised all these spiritual things because it's going to suffer the consequence of Adam's sin. You're still going to die. You're still going to have sickness. But the soul, the real you, you're born again. You're saved. Look at all these spiritual blessings. Look at all these spiritual truths that apply to you now. You're spiritually positioned in Christ in high and heavenly places. The Father loves you unconditionally in Christ. You're sealed. You have an eternal destiny. But man, while you're still on this earth, you're going to go through a lot of stuff. Just like the Lord said in John 16, I've told you ahead of time. When it happens, remember what I already told you, that none of those things are able to separate us from the love of God, but that love of God is only available through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And as you saw the report in Hebrews 11, all them through faith, Peter writing to the brethren, you're going to suffer. The devil's going to he's going to come against you. You're going to be tried. But through Jesus Christ, right, that grace of God is available. Stephen being stoned, James' head cut off, Peter being crucified upside down, Paul getting his head cut off, all these guys, it's because there is this glory to come that they're convinced of because of that love of God that has been shed abroad in their hearts through Jesus Christ the Lord. So be encouraged, church, no matter what you're going through. Serve Jesus unto the end, regardless if your family's going to support you or not, regardless if your country is going to support you or not. Try your best, because there is a better resurrection to come. There is a better glory to come in heaven, where our true home is. God, we thank you for today. Pray your Holy Ghost would take these things and help us to meditate upon. I pray, God, that you would strengthen any member here within this church that is growing weary of well-doing. Maybe there are some saints that are hearing my voice today, Lord, that, man, they haven't went out soul winning in a long time. They haven't really been reading their Bible. They haven't been really having the prayer life with you, Lord. They're not doing much for you, Lord. I pray you that you would prick their heart after today's study, Lord, of all that love that you were willing to demonstrate to them on that cross, all that love that you're willing to use them for and to do something through them for your glory, Lord, that they can do it if they allow you, Lord. Would you please help us at Simple Faith Baptist to remain faithful to your words, Lord, to do what you say, because we want to call you friend. We want to call you Lord. We don't want to be ashamed of you. We want to be the man that you love, because we are doing what your Bible tells us to do. Help us, Lord. We thank you for this study, Lord. Please edify us and our souls and our spirits with your holy words. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the Lord bless you. We look to, forward to seeing you soon again. And the Lord bless you. Have a blessed rest of your Sunday.